All right, welcome back, everybody. Dave Plyer here on 720 WGN, and Lauren Majera joins us now with This Week in Sports. Lauren, happy Friday to you.
Oh, hello, Dave. How are you? It's always good to be talking with you at the end of the week.
Always. And you know what's, I don't want to start off with a bummer here, but I know you went for your birthday dinner some time ago to Bob Chen's, right? Yeah, Bob Chen.
I did.
Yeah, so here's the story. So one of our listeners texted in from Bob Chen's website that today we lost a legend. It's with an extremely heavy heart that we announced the passing of our fearless leader, our friend, our family member, the one and only Bob Chen. His larger-than-life personality and famous taste buds gave us 99 fantastic years of excitement, innovation, and countless smiles. Guy was almost 100 years old. Legend in this town.
He was a legend and a huge Cubs fan, too. I know that. Look, I was raised at Bob Chen's. We would go there for every special occasion, every birthday, yeah. Mother's Day, Father's Day, holiday. I mean, you want to talk about a little Barrington brat raised on crab legs? That's where we would go, Bob Chen's. But yeah. I'll tell you the secret hack, and I went as recently as February for my birthday. My parents said, we'll take you anywhere for your birthday. And I said, I want to go to Bob Chen's. And a secret hack is those garlic bread rolls. Holy smokes, are those delicious. The secret hack is to ask for extra garlic oil on the side and just douse it and take some of that home. I put it on my eggs. I put it on sandwiches.
Wow.
I drizzle it over salads.
Wow.
I cook with that leftover garlic oil for like a week.
That's awesome.
Granted, I stink and nobody wants to hang out with me because I reek of garlic.
Of course.
But it's delicious and worth it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I love those.
May he rest in peace. Oh, what a tragedy. Such a loss to the Chicagoland community.
Yeah, no kidding. And again, I grew up same thing with, you know, specific restaurants we went to. It was Tom's Steakhouse in Melrose Park that we went to quite a bit. There's a place up in Algonquin. It's a fisherman's place. What is that called?
I know exactly what you're talking about. Port Edwards.
Yeah.
We also went there because that was closer than Bob Chen's growing up in Barrington. Port Edwards is their brunch is fantastic. I'm like 12 years old. Yeah. More oysters for the lady. Like, who do I think I am? Like, ordering caviar at 10. Like, I just love some seafood. You know I love that stuff.
Yeah, I do. I do know that.
Port Edwards is fantastic.
Yeah, you're a foodie. I don't know if it's sports or foodie, but you definitely... You definitely love that stuff. Well,
you know, I don't have nice shoes. I don't have nice purses. I don't have that nice of a car, but I spend all that money when I put in my belly.
You do. You do.
It shows.
Don't get out of here. Stop it. All right. Stop it. All right. So the big news here was, and it was so awesome to see, you know, a legend. You know, there's, you know, so many top stories, but Pat Foley called his final game after 39 years and the Hawks gave him a win, which was awesome.
Absolutely. I mean, we should just call this block the iconic legends from Bob Chen to Pat Foley. I mean, you want to talk about an icon.
Yeah.
Not only is he dripping with talent, just charisma, his iconic high-pitched laugh that makes me laugh.
Yeah.
Every time Eddie Olczyk makes him laugh, it's that
the
way it goes. It makes me laugh. Yeah. Oh, he just, the way that he keeps it classy, he keeps it classic, and he keeps it interesting and funny. He's so genuine. Such an icon, such a Chicago guy. What a storied career. I have so much respect for that man. And such a job well done.
You know, he's also, you know, it's just going to be hard to watch a game without him because, I mean, I'm pretty much all my adult life, it's been Pat Foley. And one of the things I was talking about earlier is the way he got into this business. It was back in like 1964. He was 10 years old. He went into the radio booth at Wrigley Field where Lou Boudreau and Jack Quinlan were in there and watched them do the play-by-play. And he knew from that point forward, he said he went home or he went and told his mom, this is what I want to do for a living. And that point forward, that was his complete mission. And he called baseball and hockey games at Michigan State for a while and then some minor league hockey games. And then his father would take recordings of Pat to the Owls games and then pass them along to Michael Wirtz, brother of Bill Wirtz, owner of the Hawks at the time. And that got him a job at the company, October 19th, 1980, 26 years old, and became the voice of the Blackhawks, pretty much.
I believe it. You can tell it's not just talent. It's his ingrained in his identity.
Yeah, no question. Let's take a little
how
listen.
How good he is.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's take a little listen. He went on the ice yesterday. It was so beautiful the way it was done. And to honor him, his whole family was there. Let's take a little listen.
For 39 years, one voice has been synonymous with Blackhawks hockey. Pat Foley has been that voice. But Pat is not just a legendary broadcaster bringing the game to life for viewers and listeners worldwide with a style uniquely his own. He's the voice of the fans, using his platform to amplify the highs and lows that all Blackhawks fans have experienced for nearly four decades, forming an unbreakable bond between them and the man we have the opportunity to honor tonight. Please welcome Hall of Fame broadcaster and the voice of the Blackhawks for 39 years, Pat Foley!
All right, here's the starting lineup. For the Chicago Blackhawks, Murray Bannerman starting at goal.
Probably a lot of it had to do with the timing. It's overtime, it's a playoff game against the fiercest rival they had.
Back to the breakaway! Keith Acton moving right in along the shot!
For quite a few years.
Into a place that some guy across the room screamed, Bannerman, and I'd please just say hello.
I don't know why it got as big as it did, but it's kind of cool that it did.
Dropped it to the deep slot. Now Gardner gave it away.
One guy that wasn't thrilled about it was Billy Gardner. I mean, he's the guy that gave the puck away and that led to the breakaway. So he and I were partners for a long time.
Bannerman did it again! How did he do it? Here come the Hawks.
Chicago's very own, the great Pat Foley.
We got to go sit in the radio booth at Wrigley Field with the great Jack Quinlan. And I sat with Jack Quinlan and Lou Boudreau on a beautiful day in the middle of the summer at Wrigley Field. I'm 10. I was really interested in what he was doing, asked him a couple questions between innings. My mother says when I came home that day, I told him I knew what I was going to do.
Now here's Savard. He races over the line, left it for Larmer. Back to Savard. Moves right in. He's gone! Savard!
It's going to be really hard to listen to a game without him, you know?
I'm sitting here. My eyes are welling up with tears. I have goosebumps. I'm smiling. Oh, his voice is just so iconic. Savard goes! He scores!
Yeah, I know, right?
He can't be replicated. And nor would I ever want someone to step in and try to be the next Pat Foley. I mean, whoever steps into that role, and they've announced, the Blackhawks have announced it, I mean, the shoes that they have to fill, but I hope that they really try to be their own person, because that boy cannot be replaced. I mean, he's such an icon. I'm just a big congratulations to him on his successful, iconic career.
Yeah, no question. Other stories, we'll touch upon quickly. The Bulls are in the playoffs. Game one is on Sunday against the Bucks, and the rivalry between these two teams, have been prevalent for a long time, but like since the 70s, and it's exciting that they're in the playoffs and on Easter Sunday.
It's extremely exciting, although I am very nervous. While it is Easter and it is supposed to be, a special holiday, it makes me a little bit nervous because the Bulls are not the Bulls that they were to start the season when they were dominating their division, when they were dominating teams that were better than them. They have started a bit of a trend, and it is too much fault. They have had a revolving door of injuries. Someone's in, someone's out, someone's in, someone's out. Let's cut to COVID. Everyone's out. Yeah. Let's rely on guys who are on the bench starting.
Right.
It is not their fault. They have had a difficult patch, and Billy Donovan is such a fierce leader, and he has never taken an excuse, and he has led those guys in such a strong way. I have some faith, but I am nervous, I will admit.
Yeah.
Another thing that's to be noted is the defending champions.
Yeah.
And the Bulls don't have a lot of playoff experience. 8 Bulls players have never played off.
Yeah, wow.
Actually, they have played in a playoff series. I mean, that includes, Zach LaVine, who's one of their superstars. He's never played in a playoff game, which is shocking. DeMar DeRozan described the postseason as what you can dream of as competition. And I'm sure this team is so thankful for his veteran leadership, for his dominance on the court, but also his playoff experience. And I just hope that that really transcends through the inexperience in the playoffs.
Yeah, we're going to find out very soon. The other big story, and I'm excited about this, well, Cubs are in first place. I mean, pretty much, you know, let's hold on to that. What was that?
I said, how about that?
How about that? Cubs outfielder, Suzuki became the first MLB player since 1920 to tally, and I think that's when RBIs became an official stat, but to tally 8 or more RBIs and 4 or more walks in his first 4 career games. I love that these are the type of things that are happening in the first weeks of the season.
It's so interesting because the White Sox are 4-2 tied for first in the AL Central, and the Cubs are 4-2, which is first in the NL Central. It's not often we get to compare the North and the South side with equal success, but Seiya Suzuki, look, he started hot and he has stayed hot. He's the 2-time Japan Central League batting champion for a reason. Baseball players always say that hitting is contagious, and he's extended his hitting streak to 6 games since joining the majors from Japan. He drove in his 10th run when the Cubs collected 5 yeah. straight hits. Yeah. It's just been hot. Not to mention it helped the Cubs tap someone familiar, a third baseman, Chris Bryant, who now plays for the Rockies on Thursday night. So it's been exciting to watch. And David Ross, the former catcher, he'll be the first to say it. Hitting is contagious. You don't always have to be good, but you can get good.
No question. Well, here's the other thing, folks. Lauren is not in Chicago right now. In fact, she's not in the country. So we're going to play. Where is Lauren Majera is going to be our new weekly game. We're going to find out more when we come back on 720 WGN. All right, Dave Plyer, Lauren Majera, WGN Radio. Lauren is not here in Chicago, not in America. Where is Lauren Majera? We should give away prizes every week so we can figure where you are. So tell folks what you're doing right now, where you're at.
I currently am on a rooftop looking at the skyline and the river of Lisbon, Portugal.
It's awesome. I love that. But it is 1:20 in the morning, 1:25 in the morning.
It is. You are lucky I'm a night owl, and I am so grateful that you you are allowing me to still call into my favorite show.
Yeah.
Let me talk sports, because, heck, what am I going to do on a Friday night in Lisbon, Portugal, besides talk Chicago sports? It's my passion.
Yeah.
It's who I am. I love to do it, but my goodness, it's so beautiful here. It was 83 degrees today. Beautiful bluebird skies. Sunshine beaming down.
Okay, stop rubbing it in, all right,
so
woman? Jeez.
How much time do we have? Because I have so much more to say.
Okay, yeah, go ahead. No, I've been watching you post some pics and stuff, and it just looks beautiful. Oop, did I lose you?
You know what? That's the thing about Europe, is there's so much history. There's so much culture. It's so different here. How friendly the people are, the way that they just come up and talk to you. And then, you know, in Chicago, I'm like, what, are you hitting at me? No.
Yeah.
They're just being friendly. And they give you really good suggestions. And you go from one place to the next. And everyone is just so nice and friendly. And it's just been so fun and so relaxing. And it's just been a really, really beautiful. This is such a beautiful city. And I've only been here, little over 24 hours.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what's funny? And I know you're going through Europe. So over the next, few weeks, we'll talk about your next adventures. But what's the most, I've got a couple trivia questions for you. What is the most famous dessert in Portugal? Do you know? Did I stump you?
I know I had a donut the size of my face today.
I saw that. I know. It's the custard tart.
I actually forgot. I have one of those today, too.
Okay. They were created by a bunch of Catholic monks sometime before the 18th century, and for some reason, that is a thing there. It's one of the oldest nation states in Europe, continuously inhabited since prehistoric times, it says on here. Very low crime rates. We're talking about, the country itself, peaceful. It says one of the most peaceful countries, high standards of living, ranked fourth out of 163 countries analyzed by the Global Peace Index last year, and a good diet too, I guess. There, those custard tarts might do something, because the average life expectancy is like really high there.
Oh, I totally believe it. And I forgot I had one of those custard pies today. You know what it reminds me of? It kind of tastes like creme brulee.
Yeah,
how it's like a very light, frothy sort of cream base that's not too sweet with kind of like a shell, a sugar shell on top, and kind of like a flaky base to it. And you can hold it in your hand. It's like the size of like a baseball, but flat on top. And my friend I'm with, she's like, oh, I got one of these famous Portuguese custard pies. Do you want to try one? And I said, you know, I don't have that big of a sweet tooth, but I'll try it. I handed her back one bite of it.
That was it. That was it.
I said, I'm so sorry. It was so good. And she's like, oh, you want to go get a donut? I'm like, yes.
You know what also is Portuguese is tempura. And I thought for sure that's Japanese of some sort, but it was invented and created there.
I believe it. So I went to a place today called the Timeout Market, and it's just like a giant mess hall of all these different really, really nice pop-ups of different restaurants. And you can walk around and kind of like the Taste of Chicago, but in a permanent mess hall. And you can get a little taste of everything. Of course, you know me, I'm so basic and went running to the oysters.
yes.
But I saw a lot of tempura. And I said, that's so interesting that they would have a lot of like sushi places here. And someone said, yep, actually, tempura is common to, it was born here in Portugal, which is so interesting. I'm learning so much, not Portuguese, but a lot about the culture.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, I was going to say, here's the other two things. No one's been executed for a crime there since 1846, so you're in good shape there.
I feel so safe. I feel safer than I do in Lakeview. Incredible.
Well, Portugal decriminalized the recreational use of all common drugs, which includes cannabis, cocaine, LSD, and heroin. And although possession of these is not illegal, if you're found to be in possession of more than 10 days worth, then you might do some jail time. And you also get rehab with that whole package. So now we really know it's for the LSD is why you're in Portugal right now.
Oh, yeah. We all know it's for the red wine, which is so much. I actually found so interesting. It's like when I'm in Chicago and order a glass of red, they'll say, well, what would you like, a Pinot Noir, a Merlot, a cab? Here, you order red, you get a glass of red. They don't ask you what kind. If you say, can I please have a wine? They say red or white. And every place I've ordered a glass of red, they just bring it, and they've all tasted different. And I want to know. I want to learn about the wine. So I'm actually going to go to the countryside and go wine tasting and hopefully learn about Portuguese red wine. I'm going to go to Spain in a couple days, too, and hopefully learn. I'm only going to get an education while I drink, you know.
Well, everybody
but
should.
I find it so interesting because, you know, if you're at a nice restaurant in Chicago and I say, can I please have a glass of red wine? They either say, like, you want, like, the house red? It's a Pinot Noir, a 14 Hands, a Meiomi, whatever. But they ask what kind of red. Here they don't. And I find that very interesting because everyone tasted it different.
Yeah, that's very, very cool. See, now, what will you be doing now? Now, you can just go on with your evening there because I know you're a night owl. We're both night owls, and that's usually when we communicate. So your evening's just beginning at 1:30 in the morning there.
I'm getting up really early to go to Castle Peña, I think it's called. But, you know, I've been walking around, and I had a really late dinner, which is very common here in Europe. So I might wander downstairs to the rooftop that I'm on and have a glass of bread as a nightcap and just kind of call it a night. And I'm going to a castle tomorrow. And then I'm renting a car and going to the countryside to go horseback riding and to watch a river and go wine tasting and stay at a country house and spa. And then I'm going to Porto and so on and so on. I don't know how much time I want to steal from you.
Everybody. No, you know, everybody needs to do that. I'm glad you're taking a nice little break. And by the way, I'm filling in for Bob Surratt next Friday. Buzz Killman will be in for me. So you get next Friday off. You can just hang and do your thing. And we'll talk the following week. How's that?
We'll have so much to catch up on. And who knows? I might be speaking fluent Portuguese by then.
You might be. You might be. Lauren Majer, everybody. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Thank you so much. Have a good weekend.
You too. All right.